Open our Bibles. Going back to the Song of Solomon in the fifth chapter. And we left off with this, with our precious sister in verse 9 of the fifth chapter, searching for her beloved. Praise the Lord. And may that be just a continual encouragement to our lives, brothers and sisters. She finally is fully purposed to find him. And tonight, may we even emphasize the more, again, by the Holy Ghost. This is all by him. This is all him. We are his workmanship. He performs the good work which he has begun. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Amen? So this is him. Praise God. And we know it. We just want to be willing, by the grace of God, to let him work it. But see, we left off that she realizes it's all for him. And she has finally quit looking at things around her, at especially herself. She's quit thinking about her feelings to tell him when she's ready. She's quit saying, you know, come for me tomorrow, I'm a little tired. And her eyes, praise the Lord, are finally turning away from herself and now turning to him. But as we see and have seen before in this precious portion of Scripture, there's been a lull in her yielding. And when there is time away of slumbering in our lives, brothers and sisters, it's costly to us. It is. We never get back that time, but thanks be to God for the grace of God. But when we're away from the things of God, when we're not feeding on the depths of the strong meat, we can become spiritually weak. And she awakens in this state, and praise be to God that she is awakened to go after him. But she's not spiritually sharp. It's going to take some time. And I thank God how he works this in her life, and as we'll see. But what I mean by this is we read that she didn't just pass by. As she awoke from her sleep, as she listened to his voice, it stirred in her the depths of a stirring of only the Holy Ghost could do. She went out, and the first ones that she saw were the watchmen again in the city. Now, the last time she saw those watchmen, she was able to pass by them immediately, and she found him when she went by them. But this time we saw that she lingers with them a little bit. And these watchmen, once again, understand this. These are ones that, especially for a Christian, and especially for ones that I know, that have sat under the message of Paul's gospel. But these are ones that will give you bits and pieces of truth, but they will mix in error. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. That spiritual run is a perfect run in the gospel of Christ. See, I trust God and I believe him when he said that my sins are taken away. We get so hung up on that. Now, I want the Lord, again, to live a life that is pleasing in my life. And he will always do that as we yield to God. But the one thing, by the grace of God, that we must pursue by the grace of God is the whole counsel of God. We want strong meat. We want the sincerity of the Word of God. And the Lord help us to always want that. But see, when she turns to these ones, these watchmen that are in the broad ways, as it says, because that is the majority. See, that's going to be your palm wavers someday. That's why there's so many of them, because they went the broad way of Christianity. The narrow way of grace is a very narrow way. Isn't that interesting? See, people in Christianity, they think the narrow way is this legal way, this doing and don'ting way. The narrow way is grace, period. That's it. You grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who happens to be full of what? Grace and truth. Amen? So that's a double portion of grace. That's grace for grace right there, isn't it? Praise God. So we know this because, praise the Lord, the Holy Ghost has allowed those scriptures to be rightfully divided in your life, because you just will to know, because it's the will of God, not the will of anybody here. It wasn't the will of Jesse, because my will was to do nothing good. And that's the truth. But the will of God got a hold of my life because of the grace of God. And praise the Lord, He will cause me to know as I will go that way by His grace. But it is the narrow way of grace. But even after she gets by these watchmen, and thanks be to God for the grace of God, she gets by them. But again, she's still pretty weak. And who does she turn to next that we read? Right back to those daughters of Jerusalem. And you think in the chapters prior, she was always telling them to get away from her because they were disturbing and distracting her fellowship with her love. Again, these daughters of Jerusalem and what they represent are saints that only will confuse you. They're not ones that are grounded in the truth. They're not ones that are like-minded as Paul. They're not ones that you would mark as examples or in samples in your life that they followed Paul as he followed Christ. No. These are ones that have missed the mark. And it doesn't mean that you wouldn't be kind to everybody and love everybody and want anybody and everybody to know the love of God in you. But when people don't want to fellowship in the depths of the truth, there comes a time you've got to cut that and go. You've got to cut it because they're going to weigh you down. You will descend, as they say, to the lowest instead of going on with God to the heights of the highest. So, these saints disturb her. They disturbed her and her lover. She asked them where he is, and are you surprised when they said, well, we don't have a clue? No, and I'm just going to ask you, how about some people you know? Could you, they're very sweet Christians, could you go to them and say, hey, could you tell me about the bridal truth? Not as a quiz, but could you help me in the bridal doctrine? Nope, they couldn't. Because they've never settled down in it. They haven't heard it. They haven't had the desire. Because you know if they had the desire, God's faithful to meet it fully. Amen? But it had nothing to do with, well, you know, God was a respecter of this or respecter of this. No, He would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. Amen. Appreciate your testimony back there, sister. See? We know these things in every testimony in here. But praise the Lord as some of it is magnified very brightly in different ways. But they ask her, as she asked them about, well, have you seen my beloved? They ask her, well, wait a second here. Why are you so loyal and dedicated just to him? And the reason they ask that of her, you know, is one reason, because they have other lovers. They don't get it. That sound familiar? A lot of your Christian friends don't get you, do they? They just don't understand. How could you go on a Wednesday night to a Bible study? talking about bridal truth. What in the world are you talking about? Well, it's all there, isn't it? And it's very clear. And it's clear to the light. It's the simplicity of the gospel of Christ as the Holy Ghost takes us into these things. But Christ isn't preeminent in their lives. There isn't a preeminent love that's stirring like it is in the Shulamite's heart. And the fellowship with these ones hurts her. Fellowship with ones that, and I'm talking about where you spend most of your time, brothers and sisters. When you fellowship with that, it's going to hurt you. These are Christians that might love maybe their church more than they love the Lord. You understand that? See, I thank God for this building. I thank God for what He's given us. But it is always the message. It's not because of a church. It's the message. And it's Paul's gospel. And God help us to have a panting heart for that. Christians can be in love with their relationships that they have. Their heritage. Their feelings. Social. Their way of life. All of these different things. But praise be to God, our sister is driven by grace's passion. That's what we're driven by. Did you know that? Grace's passion. Grace has got a passion in you, and that's for more grace. So much grace by the grace of God that you would become all of the glory for Him. Isn't that something? Grace and glory. That's all grace can begat. If you go after grace, it's just going to begat more glory and glory. That's why from glory to glory takes one thing and only one thing, and that's grace. Because without grace, you'll never have glory. Amen. Because the only place that glory is in the face of Jesus Christ. It's Him. He is all glorious. So the only way that that's going to ever be passed on to me is one way, and that's by grace. Amen. Couldn't earn it. Thank you, Lord. Isn't it simple? Isn't that absolutely simple? The beauty of the grace of God that transforms us from glory to glory. Can you imagine this? In the image of the only one that is full of grace and truth, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's all for Him, isn't it? Praise the Lord. So, this grace that gives her such a passion is to win Him. And this winner heart goes out from among them. It seems hopeless, though. It really does. Because when she's got up here, I'll tell you what, it's not looking very good. She saw the Broadway preachers and she saw the skittish saints. But God. Amen? But God, who is rich in mercy and His great love wherewith we're loved, gives even more grace. And those sisters, as it says, the daughters of Jerusalem, even though they're trying to get her to let down, even though they're trying to get her to compromise her first love, because of the grace of God, somehow, some way, that sparks something in our sister. It does. We're going to read again about how that sparks her. And it's so wonderful. It sparks her to testify of the hope that lies within her. It sparks her to testify of the hope of glory that lies within her. And she begins to minister to them, is the portion of Scripture we're going to go to tonight, and tell them of the beauty of her bridegroom and what an abundance of grace has hit her, because she now has a divine appointment that is going to be stirred in her life for the final stretch, because we're coming into the final stretch. The final stretch to where everybody's going to be looking for her, but she's gone. She's way, and they're not going to find her. Return, oh, return unto me. Oh, no, honey. My bridegroom has caught me away. Praise the Lord. Coming soon, isn't it? Amen. So, she's going to pour forth a lovesick heart right now. And as we get into this, brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. This is the heart of the bride. This is her heart. This is what the bride sees. I've said that before to some folks, and they said, well, I don't see exactly that. And I said, well, exactly. But that's what the bride sees. Amen. And why can we be so definite in that? Because Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? It just makes every hair on my body stand up. Because it's the will and the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that gives us His desire to win Him. It's amazing. That's the fully purposed heart. That is the heart, again, that was typed in a way in David with all of the stuff that went on in his life, all of the ongoings, failures, all the things people wanted to pick apart in him. Oh, no. I've given him. He's got a heart after my own heart. Praise God. So, the bride sees him this way, and it's the only way it is, brothers and sisters. And this is the vision that enlightened eyes of understanding will always see by the Holy Ghost. So let's go ahead and read. As she says, and again, I'll just read it from the 9th verse of the 5th chapter, because this is the daughters of Jerusalem saying, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? Or thou fairest among women, what is thy beloved more than another beloved, that thou dost so charge us? Well, now she's going to tell them. It's like finally Paul, when they pushed him far enough, okay, you've caused me to boast. I'm going to tell you what I see in him. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of the doves by the rivers of waters washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, his flowers, his lips like lilies dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with the beryl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Now that's quite a description. And what does this all mean? Well, again, simply as we begin into this, it's all him. It's all him. Seeing this, seeing him, is all the transformation that is necessary. It's the only transformation that can ever happen in our lives. To have us to be ready as his readied wife. All him. And I will tell you, praise God, he gave us the wonderful ability to understand this. Happened way back there about the day of Pentecost. Yea, the deep things of God by my Spirit. Hallelujah. Be thankful you live in this time. Be thankful, so thankful by the grace of God. We live in the time to be led into all truth. But first off, as we get into this, the reason she can see this in such depth and see him is her eyes are no longer on her at all. This is only him. Everything is about him. And by the Spirit, praise God, I believe the Lord, so many wonderful sermons and texts and writings upon this section by many, and all of them that I see on this that have had such a revelation are ones that follow Paul as he follows Christ. But I am so thankful that there's continuing to be more light upon light. And I'm going to trust the Lord that what he's laid out for us tonight, brothers and sisters, is none other than he's taken us right into a vision in the Holy of Holies. We are sitting there right now as this begins to unfold. This is the cherubim, the bridal company revealed in the Old Testament. And why wouldn't it be? Because that is the representation of the bride that was hidden in the Old Testament, revealed to us by Paul's gospel. So with that, I'd like you to remember about those cherubim that sit there in the Holy of Holies. The cherubim, those two wonderful, wonderful characters. And those, let me tell you something, the bride of Christ is always a character. But they're there, and their eyes and their gaze, as their wings touch over the mercy seat, is affixed on the mercy seat and the blood there. And again, for those that might not remember about the cherubim, the ark that they would carry with them when they'd go into battle, the ark that the again, the tablets were there, and the Aaron's rod was there, and it was very important to them because it was the presence of God. It always spoke about the presence of God. Well, that ark was set there in the Holy of Holies. But the ark, again, had a lid, and the lid of the ark was called the mercy seat. And the mercy seat was made out of solid gold. It was an absolute cover that would cover the top of the ark. But out of that mercy seat and out of that one piece of beaten gold, isn't that wonderful? It always tell you how it was beaten. You suffer with me, you'll reign with me. Amen? But out of that one piece, it wasn't pieces, it was one piece, that was that top of that mercy seat. I mean, the top of the ark, that mercy seat. Out of that came these two wondrous cherubim. They just emerged right out of it. And here they were with their wings. One on one side, one the other. And all they did was look right face down. They didn't look at one another. They only looked, covering the ark, at the blood of the mercy seat. In the very place of the Holy of Holies, where only the high priest could go in there at that time. So now you get this picture of, Oh, the intimacy that's back in there. What was going on in there? Well, this was going on in there. This was going on in there because this was, again, Paul's gospel that was going to be taking all of these things and revealing them in their glory to us. Isn't that amazing? These were the things that were hid from the prophets, the sons of men. Moses couldn't look into these things. As it says in Hebrews 11, and a better thing for us, exceeding great, precious promises. Hallelujah. Yes, I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. So here we have this set. So now going back to our text, the first thing that she says there in verse 10, my beloved or my much loved, this is bridal talk now again. Again, I don't go through the grocery store, and as they're checking me out, I don't say, hey, look, my beloved. Excuse me, my beloved, could you show me where soup cans are? That'd be funny. My beloved is my wife. Amen. My much love. This is bridal talk. Just what it is. It is, praise God, because this is who he is. But the very first thing that is said, he is white and ruddy. That word white means spectacular, dazzling, and ruddy. Yes, it means earthly, but it even means more than that. It means the blood. So the very first thing that she says, my beloved, is dazzling blood. She's in love with that blood. She's enamored with the Lamb. She cannot get her eyes off of anything but the power of the blood of Christ. And what is really that blood? That's the grace of God, isn't it? That he gave his son. Gave his son to die, but he gave his son to become sin for you. And he gave his son that his son would be resurrected for you. And he gave his son that his son would ascend to the right hand of God. And he gave his son to descend to the right hand of God, that he would go so he could send the Holy Ghost, that you could be led into all truth. He gave his son. Think about that. Isn't that marvelous? What you know about why he gave his son? And all of the manifold with infolding and all of the folds of why he gave his son. For us. Now, in that, you're right back to the cherubim. There they are. They see nothing but the blood on the mercy seat. It's spectacular. Their eyes are affixed because it's the most dazzling thing there ever could be. Isn't that what Brother was talking about in his prayer this before we started? About the grace of God. It's spectacular to you. It's dazzling. It's caused you to pant after more. Panting after more. Because it's so incredible. And as the Holy Ghost says, okay, praise the Lord. And here's more. And here's more. And here's more. And the glory begats glory. And glory begats glory. Because it's all because of grace. And how wondrous that this is how it all begins, brothers and sisters, for any of us. It's grace. It's the blood. The blood magnifies his incredible grace. And she's mesmerized with it. And she says, he is beyond all. That means there is just nothing that can compare. He is the fairest of 10,000. I appreciated how Sister Bodie said, oh, there's some wondrous vessels of Christ. But I like it said like this, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Because Christ lives in you. He's the man. Hallelujah. He's the one. He's it. Our eyes only see him if this is where we're headed. Praise God. And then it goes on to say, his head in verse 11 is as the most fine gold. You hear that the gold speaks of deity. Absolutely. How wondrous. So true. But again, back to the cherubim. They are of one piece of beaten gold that is all him. Remember that. It's all him. He makes it all. It's all because of him. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Amen. And out of that wondrous grace and glory comes the cherubim. And they're one with him because of that vision of only grace. They come out of that. They come out of him into that fullness of glory because they look at nothing but grace. Nothing but what the blood did. Not one iota of Cain's, well, look what I did with my hands. Look at the vegetables that I grew for you, Lord. See how this is? Get that away from me. That is just refuse. You bring me the lamb. It's all I want to see. And these are the ones that believe in that grace. And grace will continue to give you more faith to believe everything in the Word of God and to live it, praise the Lord. But because of that vision of only grace, she enters into his deity, jointly reigning and ruling with him. That's why she's that gold too, because she's of him. They're one. That's why he will make known to all that he has loved her. That's why he will make them of the synagogue of Satan to come down and bow down and worship before her, because she's one with him. It's him. It's all him. Isn't that precious? Hallelujah. It's him. That's why she descends from heaven having the glory of God. Well, who's the glory of God? It's him. Praise the Lord. She transforms from glory to glory into his image, him. Again, it's him. So, they're together. They're one. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. He is her head. She is completely smitten. She is completely submitted. And it's in that headship that she sees now the next part. His locks are as bushy and black as a raven. Very interesting, isn't it? You think, my goodness, what in the world is this writer talking about? That's why. It better be the Spirit or you're never going to have any discernment out of this. Praise the Lord. Here a little, there a little, line upon line and line upon line. That's why you want to understand this. You'll never ever even get into this without Paul's gospel. You'll never even get remotely into this without Romans and Galatians and the Corinthians and Ephesians and Colossians, Philippians, all of those. 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, all of that. People want to start over here. No, you're not going to get a thing. The key that opens this up was the mystery shown to Paul. Amen. So, here we go. About this black raven hair, bushy headed one. Well, I'll tell you what, this black hair speaks of the Nazarites. Do you remember the Nazarite? Remember old Samson? See, the Nazarites didn't cut their hair. They had this old bushy hair, a lot of hair. It spoke of dedication, submission to the Lord. And Christ's ultimate submission was his sacrifice, obviously, on the cross. And so beautiful was the complete obedience of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the Father. The Father's will is always paramount. And as well, too, in this, you see this is a the bushy, black as a raven locks. See, Jesus Christ, he wasn't crucified on the cross as a baby. He wasn't taken up there as a teenager. And he wasn't crucified as an old man. No, he wasn't. In the prime of his life, in the most beautiful. She sees him in the most beautiful. She sees his suffering. That's the most beautiful. She wants to enter into that joint suffering with him because that's the most beautiful. That wounded side when he was upon the cross, amen? The rib portion, that wounded side, that side means rib. There's a reason for that. It wasn't a wounded thigh or a wounded chest or an arm bone. The Lord's very specific. It's a very exact. Every type, every shadow is emphasizing again, if you suffer with me, you'll reign with me. If you suffer together with me, praise God, you'll be glorified together with me. You'll rule and reign jointly together with me. You'll be of this gold deity with me. Amen? So, in that, we go right back to this hair and how wondrous it is that he's in the prime. See, the bride sees him in the prime of his life. The bride sees him as the young roe, This is the bridegroom. And it's in this thought of the submission to God's will that I'll remind you of the cherubim that are seen in Ezekiel. Their feet are straight. Amen? They have straight feet. And when the Spirit moves, they move. It's in perfect harmony. It's the wheel within the wheel. Oh, yes. And see, this is why we know this is that precious cherubim. This is the bride of Christ. Complete spiritual submission to the Lord. Amen? That's what it is. It's spiritual, isn't it? It's love. That's what spirit is. The spirit is truth in love. It's that love doctrine. The love of the bridegroom and the bride. So now, she sees that she has it all again in Him. In Him. In grace. She's got the reigning. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? She sees that He wants me to rule and to reign with Him. All by the grace of God. All because of that wondrous work. And everything He's about, He wants me to reign. And then the power of love, His great love for me to yield to Him, that submission, again, that to really submit my life to God. But it's all because it's His eyes. I want you to see that in verse 12. His eyes are as the eyes by the rivers, eyes of doves by the rivers of water. See, again, all of these scriptures, His, Him. And it's interesting because you'll find the word His 10 times in here. Responsibility according to ability. Where's that all come from? Him. Him. Grace. Him. That's why it's His. That's why I'm His workmanship. Right? And doesn't it make you joy? Again, even maybe a little bit more. How much He loves you, how much He's for you. That He will perform the good work which He's begun. It's Him. But see, this is the reigning power that has gotten her. But it's all because it's His eyes. It's His vision. It's not her vision. This is His vision. His vision, praise God, is the vision for the bride. And without His vision, brothers and sisters, the bridal message perishes in our life. And I've known people. And but for the grace of God, there go I too. I've known wondrous saints that have run so well. And as Paul said, you ran well. Who hath bewitched you? It's because you got somebody else's vision than His vision. Might even be your vision. Doesn't matter. If it's not His vision, it don't work. His vision is the bridal vision. His vision always is the vision of the much the more. His vision is the life that bubbles over in spirit and truth. Did you know that? That's His vision. That's His vision for your life. Spirit and truth. Truth and love. For His vision for her is that she is the true worshiper who worships Him in spirit and in truth. Now, why do I say that? Well, it's because this is His vision. These are His eyes. Let's read again what those eyes are. They're eyes of the doves by the rivers of waters. Now think of that. What is the dove? The dove is the Holy Ghost. There's your spirit. Amen? And the rivers of water is the Word of God. And what is that? Truth. Amen? So His vision again, His eyes, are the true worshiper that worship Him in spirit and in truth. She sees with this vision. And what kind of eyes are they? They're eyes that are washed with milk. You think, oh, wait a second. What in the world are eyes that are washed with milk? You have to know it's the vision, amen? Well, what's the milk? It's the sincerity of the Word of God. That's what it is. That's the vision, the sincerity for the truth. And then you see this one where it says, fitly set in the Hebrew there. That means a precious stone. So basically what you have is you have sincerity for the truth and the precious stone. His eyes see the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel. Not just bits and pieces. The sincere milk of the Word. And praise God, oh, even the mystery of the goodly pearl. The precious stone. It's just what it is. He isn't trying to connect things. It's just what it is. The sincere heart, brothers and sisters, is the milk of the word. He grows that up. It becomes a goodly pearl, a precious stone. It's sincerity, and yet it's the depths of the truth. It's the simplicity, yet it's the mystery of Christ in the church. Praise God, His vision grows us up into Him in all things. It's all there, isn't it? Him. Praise God. Now, we come to the cheeks. The cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers in verse 13. And the cheeks can speak of a lot of wonderful things. I appreciate when they say, you know, you can kind of read somebody's emotion a little bit, maybe their health from their cheeks and things of that nature. Absolutely. But these cheeks, they actually speak of the beauty. And there's telling that He has a sweet-smelling face. I found Jesus to have a sweet-smelling face. How about you? Amen. Matter of fact, He's got the sweetest-smelling face I've ever smelled. As the Word tells us, the glory of God is in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen? Oh, yes. That's a pretty sweet face. To her, there is nothing more beautiful than His sweet, glorious face, His glorious grace. And once again, this is her first love. And when this is her first love, or your first love, in beholding only His face, beholding only His glory, what happens when you behold glory? You transform from glory to glory, praise God, into His very image. Now it goes on to say there, as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. Well, spices, as you know, are ingredients that enhance things. They're ingredients that enhance food or make things a little bit more interesting. Well, praise be to God, that's exactly what the Holy Ghost does in our life. He enhances us for Jesus. He makes us more interesting. You talk about being able to speak face to face with a friend. He makes you even be able to speak face to face with a lover. Isn't that something? You see what I'm saying? See, that was a wonderful thing as a friend. But I'm so thankful, and it is a double portion, as it says in the 16th verse, yea, this is my beloved, my bridegroom. And it's also, this is my friend. And let's take that to heart as well too, spouses, as the ones that I counsel, and they'll tell you every single time, your spouse, by the grace of God, should be your best friend. Absolutely. And how much we can glean from this. But see, this is so sweet because, again, the spices, that's the fruit of the Spirit. They flavor our lives more and more for Him. They make us a sweet-smelling sacrifice to Him. The Holy Ghost causes the love of God to be shed abroad in our heart to where we want to willingly suffer together with Christ, don't we? Amen? And that's the sweet-smelling that comes up out of our life. We don't suffer for nothing. We suffer in praise and glory to His grace. We do. It's not joyous for the moment, but for eternity we can see it. Amen? I can see my suffering in eternity, and there's nothing more glorious. But for the moment, it's very hurtful. But when I look with His vision, and He's got for me with Him forever, honey, I'm talking about our honeymoon that'll never end. It's the sweetest. Oh, my goodness. Dancing. But that's what He does. So, we have this wonderful ingredients of these spices all by the Holy Ghost. But then it says also the flowers. So, it says there His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. Well, the flowers speak of the promises of God. That's what that means. So the Holy Ghost, can you imagine this? He's taken the promises of God. He's taken the things of Christ. And He's showing them unto you. See, when you look into Jesus and He just becomes everything to you, the promises of God become so real. You begin to know them. You begin to live them. They're yours. They're not just promises that are said. They're my promises. This is my God. This is my beloved. This is my friend. I don't know how He does it with you. But He does the same thing, doesn't He? But that's why He is just beyond. Because, again, He can make us feel like the only believer that's ever walked this earth. He just does. But that's your love. That's the beloved that does that. How wondrous. But now, so he takes these promises, he takes the things of Christ, he shows them to us. We get a vision of the midst of the throne glory in that. Oh, yes, we do. And that transforms us more and more and more into his image. Now, I want to go on with these cheeks just for a second here. The cheeks also speak. Since we're talking about the Holy of Holies, we're talking about that wondrous tabernacle. The cheeks speak actually of a jawbone as well, too. Well, if you think back about what the jawbone represented in a lot of ways, the priests were given the jawbone. Now, why do I say that? Well, the priests, the Levites, they did not participate in any of the inheritance of Israel. They could not participate in that. That was for all of the other tribes. Okay? The only inheritance that the priests had were of the Lord. I think I want that inheritance. How about you? Priests and kings. Do you see? And this is what's so beautiful about this. Again, it speaks of that tabernacle. It speaks that, Lord, you're just my first love. I have you. What else could there be? Not that I want no more, but what else could there be? Your inheritance, or what was this? Amen? Praise God. They had the best. Then, let's go on to the lips. It says there, his lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. This is a lot, isn't it? And brothers and sisters, you could just, till he come. And I pray that he'll expand on this. And we'll stop with these lips tonight. I know this is a lot, but my goodness, you wouldn't even be able to sleep tonight if we went on. But see, his lips, it says here, are like lilies dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. And they are. Remember how it began? Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. And we know that the kisses of his mouth, that's the word of God. And when the Holy Ghost hit you, and you truly began to see Paul's gospel, and you saw truly the divineness of the story in Genesis 24, where Rebecca, after hearing of the proposal, again by Eliezer, the Holy Ghost representation there, she said, I will go. I will go. And I'm not going to go later. I'm going to go now. And when you kiss those kisses of his mouth and you go now, you go on a journey and you go now on that journey. And that journey is going to be on one thing, your camel. You're going to ride your camel. And that camel speaks of your flesh. That flesh has to be tamed. I know it can be interpreted a lot of different ways, but it is the flesh. He'll bring all the trials that'll test your flesh. Your flesh is a big, giant trial, yes. But there'll be other things that affect the trial of the trial that you are. You're just a walking trial. Buttons all over the place ready to be pushed to set you off at any moment. But praise the Lord, the Lord didn't dwell again on that as we were rejoicing again. 67 verses in the 24th chapter of Genesis. Never forget that. 67 verses. 66 and a half of them always about the proposal. Always about the lovers. One half of one verse speaks of the journey that she's going to take. And it's going to be a hard journey to get there to her lover. What do you think the Lord, again, is trying to emphasize in our life? To think about all the myrrh and all the trouble you're going to go through? Or eternity with me? How beautiful I am. This is why this is so vitally important to our lives to take this. It's Him. It's all about Him. It's keeping our eyes on Him. Hallelujah. And only the Holy Ghost can do it. That's it. Only Spirit and truth in every dimension of our life can do this. Amen? It's the grace, great, great grace of God that has to continue to lift us up and lift us up to exalt Him all the time. And oftentimes, God, again, in His greatness and in His foreknowledge, He knows us. Oh, He does. And He knows that how to take us lower so we can go higher. But it's got to be Him. And you know what I'm talking about. He'll strip you of you. Yep. I'm so thankful for every failure. Praise God. Because Romans 8:28 keeps me just fine. Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's finish it up here. So, the kisses of his mouth, the word of God, these kisses will bring forth glorious suffering in our life. We feast on him, brothers and sisters. We feast on the word of God. It's going to be sweet to the mouth, but it's going to be bitter to the stomach, isn't it? That's what's going to happen. The word of God tells us this. Sweet things, but once we feed on him, he's come for those words that he heard. He's come for them. So only his kisses, again, will bring forth, as it says here, lips like lilies. His kisses bring forth the lily of the valley in our life. I love that. It brings our life to live for him. It's the word of his grace. Again, it's all sweet. It's all glorious, as the lily is to the mouth. But immediately, as the lily is to the mouth, it's also dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. It's a sweetness. It's a precious smell. It's a sweet-smelling sacrifice to him. But we know that the myrrh speaks of one thing, and that's the sufferings. The sufferings become something she pants after. As Brother Paul says, I glory in my infirmities. Yes. Brother Paul was not a nut, except for the Lord. He got it. Praise the Lord. The Holy Ghost enlightened the eyes of his understanding that Paul, when you are weak, son, when you are weak with those thorns that you want me to take out of you, you don't get it. If I took the thorn out, you'd be a little bit magnified. You'd be a little bit glorified in Paul. But I'm going to leave those things in there. And Paul began to say, oh, Lord, I really get this. In my infirmities, when I'm weak, you're strong in my life. In my infirmities, that's when the power of Christ is resting upon me. The very power of Christ, which is the Holy Ghost, the one who sheds the love of God abroad in my heart. When I can truly be content in that state, boy, the love shedding that's going on there. I've got to be seeing with his vision to be wanting to be there, don't I? And getting past that it's not joyous for the moment and seeing the forever with him. Praise God. Amen. That's it. That's it, honey. You got to see it from where? Where you're seated. Why didn't he say, well, you're seated on the earth with me. Ooh, I don't want to be seated here. You're seated in the heavens in Christ with me. You're seeing that whole vision, honey, if you'll see it. Because I've blessed you. You have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. And the Holy Ghost is there to show them to you. Show you every bit of that detail. Yea, the deep things of God by my Spirit. If you'll look into this and you'll have this vision for this. And you'll be able to walk through this life more than a conqueror. How could I be more than a conqueror trying to judge and compare everything with an earthly experience? I couldn't be, could I? Because I'm not going to conquer everything in an earthly way. There's no way. Matter of fact, most of the time I'm going to lose. But I'm always more than a conqueror through Christ who loves me. That's got to be one vision and one vision only. I'm seated in the heavens in Christ. That's that vision. All him. So, in that, brothers and sisters, it's wonderful. She glories in the cross. The cross that could only bring that glory to him, to the Father, to us. That's her glory. She glories in the cross. But this kiss is even a little bit more, and we'll stop with this tonight. As we speak of many times, remember what the kiss means. Drawing nigh in fervent love to kiss him. That's what worship means. Let's go back again and just think about that. The word worship. Best definition of it. True definition. Drawing nigh in fervent love as to kiss. Most will never know that when they think of worshiping the Lord. Aren't you thankful that you do? That's why the true worshiper, the bride, is the one that worships him in spirit and in truth. The lover. Amen. The lover that will be glorified together with him. Oh, no, I just want to be a servant waving a palm. Well, you'll know that song well. Salvation to our God. I thank the Lord. He's got something singing far more than that in me right now. Praise God. So, this kiss draws nigh to him. And in Kings 1:22, I want you to just write that down. You can go back and look at it. It says that the pillars of the tabernacle were not finished without the crowning of the lily upon them. Isn't that something? The pillars in the tabernacle were not finished until the lily was crowned upon them. Now I go back and I think about those pillars again in Revelation 3. The Philadelphia church. The ones that are spared from the tribulation. The bridal company is taken before the tribulation. Meets him in the air. Says, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. That company. Oh, what a wonderful company. That's bridal stuff. But see, brothers and sisters, it says, I'll make you pillars in the house of the Lord. Well, that pillar's got to be crowned. The queen's got to have a crown. And that crown, praise God, in the Old Testament there in 1 Kings 22, is a lily. Well, the lily, as we read right here, is a kiss. Praise the Lord. And how sweet it is. It's his kisses, these lilies. And you really want to have this reigning, ruling with him, it's going to be the worship of the kiss. It's the crowning of the true worshiper. And then finally, in Exodus 30:25, you'll also find about this kiss, because it says his lips like lilies dropping with sweet-smelling myrrh. In 30:25, the ark, so that includes the mercy seat, the entire tabernacle and all the vessels, can you imagine? They were anointed with one thing, sweet-smelling myrrh. It was all over the place. Now you understand why we have sweet-smelling myrrh all over the place in here? We do. And it's okay. Matter of fact, it's good. Because it's the will of God. May we really, truly lay hold of this, brothers and sisters, because she resides in the Holy of Holies, for she's the cherubim. And God willing, we'll get more into this next week if he tarry. But I want you to think about this again, as it says, we're just looking at this through a glass darkly. Just a glass darkly. But boy, what a glass darkly is in the Spirit, isn't it? What is it going to be to be there with him, like him? Praise be to God. Let's stand and be dismissed. Thank you, Jesus. Brother Argel, would you pray for us? Good to see you, sweet man.